Tony Broom Ministries welcomes you to a Zoom Room session teaching from Galatians chapter 6. The title is Instructions for Living as Christians. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together today, wherever we find ourselves. I pray you bless. We thank you, Lord, that your word runs very swiftly. We thank you, Lord, that you're able to do great and mighty things in our midst today. I pray, Lord, that you would heal those that need healing today. Touch those that need a special blessing in their body. Lord, I pray for those who need financial help and encouragement today. I pray you'd bless them and be with them. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for loving us when we could not even love ourselves. And I pray, Lord, today that you would use the Word of God to encourage us and to help us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Galatians chapter 6, and we're talking about instructions for living as Christians. Title is a little bit different than your title because I already had a file name that had the same name as the quarterly Sunday school title, so I changed mine a little bit. Instructions for living as Christians. Christians are called to live for Christ and demonstrate His goodness. And if you think about living for Christ, the Bible says, what's the great commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your strength. That's loving God. And we're called to follow Christ, and that's loving God. And we're called to demonstrate His goodness. That's loving our neighbor. To love your neighbor as yourself is the second commandment. And on these, the whole Bible, the law and the prophets, is built and hangs and depends on all this. Just these two things, loving God and loving others. And that's what Jesus tells us to do. That's the golden rule. And that's the rule of the commandments of the Bible. It just, in one nutshell, is brought to us. Our golden text is Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So if you have to go out to the store this week to get those necessities, the things that you need, don't forget the let us. All right, let us not be weary in well-doing. We do get tired sometimes, and we do get weary sometimes. Even church people and good folks get weary. And even though God does not bring the things that come upon us, the evil things, He does not bring the pandemic and He does not bring the virus and all this, but He does allow these things to be used to give the land. The Old Testament talks about the land having her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she enjoyed her Sabbaths because you did not give it the Sabbaths that it needed when you were upon it. And He chastised Israel for not respecting the land that God had given them. And so they were sent into captivity. And while they were in captivity, the land had a chance to enjoy her Sabbaths and to lay desolate. And God has given the churches and the church, the opportunity to, as it were, lie desolate and not be desolate. We're not desolate. We're not left out. We're not lonely. But God has allowed us to step back and take a breath, get away from some of these meetings and some of these appointments and some of these going and traveling and flying and driving and here and there, and hustle and bustle, and go, go, go. I know Jesus said go, but sometimes you have to hoe and woe so you can be able to go again. He didn't mean go until you can't even breathe. So He has allowed us to come aside where we will not be weary in well-doing. Sometimes we do get weary in it. We may not suppose to get weary of it, but maybe we get weary of it. We're not supposed to be weary in it. I'm not sure which one, but He says, don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season, when the time is right, when the harvest comes, we shall reap if we faint not. And the faint not means if we don't give up. Remember Balbino, who said, never give up, never give up. And that's a good sanctified message for us today. Never give up. Burden bearing, helping each other to bear each other's burdens, verses 1 through 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It's easy for us to shoot our own wounded. It's easy for us to put each other down. But the scripture tells us to lift each other up, because we don't have anybody else to lift us up. We cannot depend on the government to lift us up. We cannot depend on the world to lift us up. We cannot depend on civil things to lift us up. We have to depend on God to lift us up. He is the only one we can depend on, and His people. God lifts us up. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the precious Word of God in the Bible. But God depends on other people to lift His people up. He ministers to the body through the body. And He says to us, don't be weary in well-doing. But yet if someone's overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Always be there for them. And you have to be sensitive to the Spirit that you can be there for somebody, to help somebody, but yet not be nosy enough to where you're nosing into their business. So we have to have direction. We have to have guidance from the Holy Spirit. In fact, He says, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The burdens that we bear are heavy sometimes, and it helps if a brother or a sister comes along beside of us and helps us tote the load. And they say, well, I'm praying for you. I know what you're going through. Or sometimes they may not know what you're going through, but they can still be there for you. It's like going to a funeral. Sometimes you don't know what to say, and you feel like the more that you say, the worse you are, and the worse off you are, and the worse off people around you are. So you get real nervous and clammed up, and you don't know what to say. But just being there for people helps them more than we will ever know. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? To love God, to love each other. And we're bearing each other's burdens. During this time, we cannot be together all the time, but we can bear each other's burdens. We can help each other out. We can Zoom together. We can call each other. We can pray for each other. And we are bearing each other's burdens. You wouldn't believe the words of encouragement that I received during this time. And it's come from people that are in here right now, and they'll say something like, well, Pastor, thank you for having this for us. And I'm thinking it's an honor and a privilege, whatever work, the spiritual work, of course, and praying and having God's direction, and you have the guidance on the messages and study and all that. And then the technological things that sometimes are such a challenge to get to work and to come out right. And it's like selling a lawnmower at an auction. It always cranks before you get to the auction. When you get things at auction, oh, I know it's going to crank. Yeah, I'll give you a dollar bill for it. Give a dollar bill. All right, then. That's the way it always, works. Well, speaking of gizmos and things, I was always one of these kids that liked a tricycle. I liked tricycles. I had several when I was growing up, and we had one, and my younger sister Donna, she's in here, she can tell you, he had a tricycle. And so Pop put a big wagon behind it, the wooden wagon with wheels on it, and he hooked it up to the tricycle, had the pipe in the back, and hooked that thing up, and the wagon was there. And the kids from the neighborhood, they'd get on that thing and ride it. I don't know what in the world made kids get on there with a blind fool driving a thing and ride the tricycle, but they liked it. They'd get on the wagon, let me ride them down the sidewalk, ride them around. Well, I had a tricycle that broke. It had the big vertical pole that came up that had the handlebars and the pole, and then it went down to the wheel, the big wheel in front. Well, the part of the pole that stood up broke away from the rod that came out from it that went from the pole in the front all the way to the back wheels. And you had this big rod that went through and it hooked on into the front of it, so it broke, and I would feel the edge of it, and I, oh, my tricycle's broken. Well, here comes Pop's brother, Uncle Bubby. Bubby said, I can take that tricycle, and I can take it to my shop. It was like Monday or Tuesday, and I can take it to my shop, and on Friday, you can have your tricycle back. And I said, really? He said, yeah, it'll be fixed up just like new. So he takes that little tricycle, and he takes it to the shop, and he did this thing that I didn't know much about then called welding. And he put this thing, I would feel around the edge of this little pipe where it was hooked on from the horizontal pipe going into the vertical pipe there, and I would feel around it, and it had this little old funny looking feeling stuff. But all I knew was just held it together. And I couldn't believe that that little stuff around the edge, that thing held it together. And he said, you should be able to ride it now. He said, if it breaks again, we'll take it back and burn another one. So I always wondered what burning another one meant. Now I know it means burning another welding rod. We'll burn another one. So I got my tricycle fixed up. Help each other bear each other's burdens, whatever it takes. A welding rod, a chocolate pie from Maine Irish, or whatever it is, a loaf of bread. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So instead of trying to help people, it's easier to justify yourself and talk about yourself and feel sorry for yourself and pat yourself on the back and judge everybody else because, well, you're just looking out for yourself. But if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. God will reward us according to that which we do, and we can prove our own work. We don't have to worry about what somebody else is doing all the time. Either we're so focused on ourselves, or we're so focused on what somebody else is doing. You can have extremes either way. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, wait a minute. Sounds like the Bible is contradicting itself. First of all, it said, bear ye one another's burdens. And now it says, every man will bear his own burden. What in the world is all that about? Well, yeah, we should bear each other's burdens. But we should also bear our own burden. I mean, if you're helping to carry me, if I can kind of wiggle my feet a little bit and help myself out, you won't have to carry the whole load. So, yeah, God wants us to bear each other's burdens, but we shouldn't have to carry the whole load. You know how it is to have kids and grandkids when they are in trouble and they want you to bail them out and you have to tote the whole load. And you say, wait a minute. After a while, you kind of hit yourself between the eyes and say, wait a minute, this thing don't make sense. You got to help me out a little bit here. You got to get off of your buhuckas and go get a job and try to help out. I don't expect you to pay all the bills, and I'm not going to charge you rent and all that, but I do want you to help out. You got to pay your own car insurance. You got to make your own car payments. You got to do something to help me out here. So, yeah, even though God wants us to bear each other's burdens, when it comes down to it, you got to bear your own burden, because if we're bearing each other's burdens all the time and toting each other's load all the time and nobody's bearing their own burden, then you're helping me all the time, but I never get into shape where I can bear my own burden. And if I get to the place where I can bear my own burden, then I'm able to help somebody else. But as long as I'm letting you bail me out all the time, then I'll never be in a position or shape where I can help somebody else out. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So I don't have to say much about this, because we have people that have blessed our pastors, and they pray for us, and they bless us, and they encourage us, and they take part in the things that we try to do to help the church to stay together and to be together and be strong. I don't even have to really say anything. It's like Paul said, I have no need to write unto you of these things. And so that's the way it is here. Those who are taught in the word, if you receive teaching, if you receive preaching, encouragement in the word, it says, let him communicate to him who teaches in all good things. The preacher had someone to knock at the door, and he went to the door, and it was one of the members of the church. And he said, come on in, Johnny. So they come in, and he has a visit with him for a while. And Johnny notices in preacher's room that there's this old dilapidated dresser, shifro thing that they used to call, I guess some of you know what a shifro is, an old chest thing that they hang clothes in. And he saw it there, and Johnny says, Pastor, what's wrong with your dresser? And he said, well, I don't know, the front of it's just out, but I reckon I'll get it fixed sometime. And Johnny says, well, I can fix that dresser, Pastor. And the pastor said, oh, no, no, I wouldn't want you to do that. And he said, well, I'll be glad to fix it. Well, the preacher said, well, I'll pay for the materials of what it takes to fix it. And Johnny says, no. He said, I'll be glad to fix that dresser. And the preacher said, well, I don't want to cause you any trouble. And Johnny says, no. He said, what do you do, Pastor? You get up on Sunday morning and preach the word. Do you feel like you have to do it? And the pastor said, well, I know God wants me to do it, and I'm called to do it, but no, I don't feel like I have to do it. And Johnny said, well, you do it because you want to, don't you? And the preacher said, yeah, I feel like I'm called to do it. And Johnny said, well, I feel like I'm called to fix this dresser. He said, I can't teach, and I can't preach, and I can't sing. You wouldn't want to hear me sing. If you did, everybody in church would leave. So I'm not going to try to sing, but I'll be glad to fix that dresser. So we all have things that we can do. We can help each other, and we can bear each other's burdens. We can help each other in the times that we're going through. When discouragement comes, we can be there. Persevere in doing good, doing well, doing good. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, we know that. We've heard the judgment part of it. Oh, you better be careful. You're going to reap what you sow. You sow those seeds of damnation, you're going to reap an evil harvest. We've all heard that. And in fact, the Bible teaches it. The next very verse says, he who sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's not all bad sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. That's what we tell our children. That's what people in church say and all that. But that's only the part of it. Yes, we reap what we sow. But you can get out from under that law of sowing and reaping just by coming to Jesus Christ. When you're born again, that evil law of sowing and reaping. Now, the law of sowing and reaping will continue as long as the earth continues, and that's forever. But you and I will get out from under that evil part of it when we're born again. We don't reap our evil sins anymore. We don't reap those evil things. And the devil said, yeah, you sowed it. Boy, you went out there and you had what you thought was fun. You drank and you did all this. And the lady might say you was a whore and you was a prostitute and you did this and that. All those things he'll lay out to you. You reaped it and now you're going to sow it. Well, when you come to Jesus, he does away with that. We have consequences. We have bodily things in life we have to deal with because of sin. But that law of sowing and reaping, if we sow to our flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit, and from the Spirit, it's a good way to say it, reap life everlasting. Let us, there it is, get some lettuce, put some tomato on it. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We cannot give up. If you give up, you cannot reap the harvest. Farmer who plants a good crop, but he gives up and says, I'm not going to go out there and dig it up. I'm going to let those potatoes rot in the ground. He cannot have a good harvest because he's given up. And you and I, even though we've done good in the past, we cannot afford to give up on God now because the harvest is coming. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. To do good to all men, but be careful and sure that we try to bless those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. Glory in the cross. Dottie Rambo sung, I will glory in the cross. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you. Now, tradition has it that Paul was so nearly blind, he had this thorn in the flesh, he was so nearly blind that he had to write great big letters. And he told the people in the Bible, if you had the opportunity, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. And that puts more fire to the tradition of men, which say, see there, Paul's thorn in the flesh. His eyes were bad. Well, I got several problems with that. One big problem is it's speculation. The whole thing is speculation. Another problem I have with it is that's not a thorn in the flesh. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 distinctly what the thorn in the flesh was. God has allowed me to have a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. That's what it is, and no more and no less. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. I sought the Lord thrice for this, three times to take it away, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you. God never told a blind man, my grace is sufficient for you. I don't want you to be healed. He never told a lame man, never told a deaf man, never told a mute person that. When they came to Jesus for healing, he always healed them. And if he were here today walking around in our room, in the Zoom room or wherever your room is, he would do the same thing right now that he did when he was on earth. And to do anything differently would change his nature, and he'll never do that. The thorn in the flesh that Paul had was not blind eyes. The thorn in the flesh he had was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. That's what the Bible says it was, and for us to say it's anything else would be pure speculation. He said, you see how large, and he didn't use the word megas for great big. Go into the place, Jesus said to the disciples, Lord, where do you want us to prepare? Do you eat the Passover? He says, go into this place. You'll find a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him, and he'll bring you to this large megas, this large upper room. But that's not the word used here. He didn't say, I have written large megas letters. He said, I have written large pelikois. Pelikois is a word that talks about quantity. There are a large number of fruit on the tree, but the large number of fruit on the tree may not be large. It may not be large like a watermelon, but it's a whole lot of little grapes on that vine. It's large. I have given you largeness of heart. You may not have a big cardiomegaly, great big heart like that, but he gives you largeness. Enlarge me, the scripture says. You see what a large letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. In other words, it's very important. That's the largeness. This large, it's important. It means something. And if you take Galatians is so important that you can put it right along beside of Romans. And Galatians is like a little Romans. Romans is the big boy. You have that in your right hand if you're right-handed, or your left hand if you're left-handed. And then with your other hand, you would have, along to go with Romans, you have Galatians. Galatians is shorter than Romans. But Galatians has a lot of the same things in it that Romans has. Romans talks about grace, works, faith. It cannot be law or grace. It has to be one or the other. It cannot be faith or works. It has to be one or the other. Galatians talks about that. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. To keep from suffering persecution, these gainsayers tried to get these believers to be circumcised and to keep this big thing of the law. You got to be circumcised. You got to be baptized in our church. You got to do this. You got to do that. Because otherwise, if the focus was not on circumcision or good works, they would have to identify with the cross. And to keep from identifying with the cross and suffering persecution for the cross of Christ, they got into this religion, works, instead of the cross and salvation. The cross does have persecution. I will glory in the cross, again, says a song. And Paul said, those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The cross. And there's songs written about the cross. I will cherish the old rugged cross. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. But now, the old rugged cross, to it I will ever be true, and its shame and reproach gladly bear. There's shame in the cross. There's reproach. The world thinks it's foolish. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who believe, it is the power of God. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. Those who are doing all these works, they cannot keep the law. They tried. They can't keep it perfectly. Nobody can. Jesus was the only one who did. He fulfilled it. But they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Instead of glorying in the cross, they want to glory in your flesh. Look what I've done. Look at my people. Look at my disciples that I've got to follow me. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I have a purpose. I have a plan. God has a plan, and I'm just in His plan. He's working the plan, and I'm planning to work. Whatever it is, I'm in this thing. For the long haul, Paul said, I want to identify with the cross. Identify with the cross of Jesus Christ. Some of us identify with Baptists. Some of us identify with Methodists. Some of us identify with Pentecostal. All that's okay on this earth, but it doesn't matter in the world to come. What really matters is, are we identifying with the cross of Jesus Christ? Jesus suffered the cross and the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. It's not circumcision, uncircumcision. It's not baptism, and we should follow Christ in baptism. But when you depend on it, the moment you depend on any other thing than grace, faith, justification through faith in Christ alone, the moment you try to depend on any other thing, it becomes a hopeless and heedless work without any merit, without any salvation. It's not circumcision or uncircumcision, but a new creature, a new creation. It's being born again. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth or from now on, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And I thought he meant the marks of the wounds of Jesus. So I was picturing Paul. He went through shipwreck. He went through whipping. He went through beating. He went through all these things. And I was picturing him bearing in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. There, the word again is stigmata. The stigma. That's where we get the word stigma. I bear in my body the marks, the stigma of the Lord Jesus. To be identified with him. Nobody can actually bear the scars of Jesus. When he was raised from the dead, he came out of that grave victorious and glorious, and he was healed. And it's like the Florida boys sing, the only thing there that's been made by man are the scars in the hands of Jesus. Jesus said to the disciples, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. See me, look at me, examine me, handle me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. Jesus proved to them with the scars that this is really who it is. And when we get to heaven, we're not going to see the mangled brow. We're not going to see torn flesh. We're not going to see all that. But you will see the scars there that he bore for our redemption. Those scars, every time that he looks at his hands at the Father's right hand. Praise God. He sees the scars of our redemption. When he told Israel, you're on the palms of my hands. And we are too. But now when he looks at the palms of his hands, if you look at the palm of your hands right now, if he looks at the palms of his hands, what does he see? He sees the scars that are there for our redemption. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You are a spiritual being. You will never be a dead person, even though you may die physically. You will never die because the spirit will live on. I was listening to an archived sermon, Billy Graham, just yesterday, and he was talking about the same thing. The spirit, like it or not, and that's the expression he used, if you like it or not, you're never going to die, whether you like it or not. You're going to live either in heaven or in hell. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Your spirit does not get sick. Your spirit does not die. Your spirit does not become discouraged. A wounded spirit, Proverbs says, who can bear? And that's the old covenant. We're not supposed to have a wounded spirit. Even when our feelings get hurt, even when depression tries to set in, even when things try to happen to us, we're not supposed to get a wounded spirit, because our spirit soars. The moment you were born again, your spirit was perfect with God. And you have a spirit that will live forever in heaven with Jesus, and he wants you to be strong. That's why he said to let the will of the Lord be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, spirits are perfect. He talks about the spirits of just men made perfect in the book of Hebrews. And in heaven, nobody's sad, nobody dies, nobody cries. Angels are rejoicing, saints are rejoicing, everybody's rejoicing, God is rejoicing. No devil, no evil, no sin. And that's the way it is in the life of a Christian. We are bombarded with things around us, but it doesn't hurt our spirit. Our spirit is strong. The scripture tells us that we are one in the spirit with the Lord. He that is joined unto the wife or the husband is one flesh. And he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We are one in the spirit with God, and we're one in the spirit with each other. Father, thank you for this wonderful chapter in your word, Galatians 6. I pray you bless it to our hearts. Help us to be strong in our spirit, to be encouraged, to help to bear one another's burdens, and to so fulfill the law of Jesus Christ. We give you praise and glory. Help us, Lord, to reach our nation with this strong message of encouragement and eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. You have been listening to a teaching session from Galatians chapter 6. The title has been Instructions for Living as Christians. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.